And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us right now, a gal who's not only a friend, but one of the most talented talk show hosts in the country, and who operates out of his station in northern Georgia. So if you're ever passing through, you want to listen to her, our own Martha Zoller. Hey, Martha, welcome to the show today. Hi.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
So, Martha, I love chatting with you. And I think what we want to get into for just a few minutes, because we haven't spoken about any national news thus far on the show, but this is a pretty big week. I mean, when you think about how often a president has been impeached, it's not all that often. And so this is the week that the House is set to vote on it. I'm told this morning that Nancy Pelosi is sandwiching in the vote on the impeachment between a vote on the new trade pact, which is expected to pass, in which she says that if it weren't for Donald Trump, no Republican would be voting for it. So there you are. It's very much a Democratic initiative. And I think she's sandwiching it between that and some other vote that I'm not remembering right now, but I think she's putting it in on Wednesday. So
Could we call the USMCA deal, which they're not calling it anymore, a compromise? Maybe everybody didn't get what they wanted, and the president made a deal. I think this last week or so, what we've seen the president do, that while he is continuing to fight, the way he fights about things, but he also is showing that he can get things done, like the agreement with China, USMCA, the defense budget, the regular budget. I think that's probably what she's sandwiching it in between. And, you know, what bothers me about this whole thing, Lisa, is that, every other time we've ever done this, whether we've looked at presidents, the two other times we did it to presidents, or the about dozen times, half a dozen times we've had to remove judges, it's always been an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote in the House. And it bothers me that it's not. And the ultimate articles of impeachment are pretty vague.
Well, I think that the articles of impeachment are vague because they were intended to be more about principle than about specifically what happened in this Ukraine thing. But where I have to go back and look at my facts, because I'm remembering the Clinton impeachment as a very partisan exercise altogether. I think it was. It was very partisan. Yeah,
it might have been good. But there were Republicans that voted for the articles of impeachment, and that voted for the articles of impeachment.
Yes, and there were Republicans that voted against it. I know one of them was Chris Shays, our own representative at the time. He made it very public that even as a Republican, he couldn't vote for them. So you're right. And we expect, by the way, that there will be some Democrats who will vote against these articles of impeachment on Wednesday. But we don't expect any Republicans to vote for them. But there appear to be some talk of at least a handful of defections away from what Nancy Pelosi wants him to do. In fact, there's a Jersey congressman who was reportedly switching over to being a Republican. His name is Drew, Representative Drew, because he is in some kind of a swing district, and for whatever reason, he wants to be Republican. A lot of his staff announced this morning that they were leaving. So, look, I don't think it's good that it's so partisan. I think the Democrats blew it because the public is walking away from this. Their interest in this impeachment is waning by the day. And I think that's...
Yeah, because with both Clinton and with Nixon, and, you know, obviously neither one of us were around when Andrew Johnson was,
right.
was not impeached.
Not that
but it almost got impeached. But in both of those areas, you know, that they had lost a substantial amount of support in their own party. That even though ultimately they didn't remove, say, the most recent one, Clinton, from office, they were still very disappointed with the fact that he was found to have perjured himself in a couple of situations, and that's ultimately what happened. And he did lose his law license as a result of it. He didn't get removed from office. But, I know we're in hyper-partisan days. I understand that. It is more and more partisan, and it is a function of a number of things. It's a function of how we draw the lines for districts. It's a function of just this kind of partisan way that we look at things. But I am hopeful that this is going to be the end of this and that we're going to start getting back on track to where we have conversations with people. And the American people have said, we want to get on with our lives. That's what the American people have said, and it'll be very interesting to see what will happen in the next year.
So I saw this morning, I read Mike Allen's newsletter in the morning, Martha. I don't know if you do. We're chatting with Martha Zoller, but fascinating interviews with people in Michigan. because Michigan, obviously a very important state, a swing state, and very much a state that Donald Trump wants to win and needs to win if he's going to win. And the voters in Michigan that were interviewed were voters that had voted for Obama and then Trump. So they themselves were very much swing voters. And the interviews right. indicated that they were very happy with what Donald Trump was doing, and they were more supportive of him now than they were a couple of years ago, because notwithstanding his personality, they were learning to ignore his personality and focus on the fact that he had cut down on immigration, which was of concern to them in Michigan, and also that he was all about the economy and trying to improve jobs. And the other thing I thought was interesting was they didn't mind about the disruption with China because they saw the big picture long term that disrupting China was good for America.
Right.
So I just thought that was really interesting.
And I do think that the Chinese have been forced to come to the table. I mean, they need, this is the thing we always forget, and this is one of the things that people love about Donald Trump, okay, is that he acknowledges that the rest of the world needs us more than we need them as far as trade goes. Okay, we're the biggest market in the world. We're still the biggest market in the world for just about everything. Okay, we are consumers, right? We know that going into Christmas and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that he pushed that really hard. And what people also don't understand about Donald Trump, I was listening to a libertarian radio host talking about how he really wasn't that conservative. Well, no, he's not. He gets the best deal he can get, and then he takes a win on it. That is his way of doing things.
And that brings us back to this trade deal between Mexico and Canada. That is not a Republican item. There's no question that conservative Republicans would not be normally in favor of this, except for the fact that many of them have decided they're going to follow their leader, Donald Trump. Because on principle,
right.
this kind of deal is not something they would normally support. So
no, it's not something they would normally support. They didn't like NAFTA in the first place,
right.
Back 25 years ago. But I'm a firm believer that I think our future is, our kids' future is in a strong North and South America, a strong hemisphere that we can, Kennedy talked about it, but we got distracted, in Southeast Asia and then in the Middle East and that kind of thing. But Kennedy talked about the being able to be strong in Latin America. And I think that, that's where the opportunity is. It's kind of like take care of your own house first, and then we can worry about the rest of the world. I think that's what we saw in England last week. I mean, I think it was a very positive thing for Donald Trump that the conservatives won in England because it's a similar kind of election that we're going to be having in a year. And I just think nobody's going to stop him, Lisa. I mean, he has things that still are cringeworthy to me every single day, but his results are stellar.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's interesting because there are parts of what he is doing policy-wise that are cringeworthy to me. For example, we are completely turning our back on acknowledging that big business has a real role to play in climate change. And I think that Donald Trump would become a great president, and maybe he has the possibility if he gets elected in his second term, I don't know. But I think he could become a great president if he turned on his heels and he said, climate change is an issue that represents economic opportunity for America, which is, after all, the most innovative country in the world and still has the deepest, widest science background in terms of our universities and academic institutions, bar none. Our kids may not be doing that well in science and math, but our institutions are stellar. And if he could just turn it and look at it as an opportunity for our economy to find solutions to what's going on. But he is beholden to so many entrenched corporate interests. And this idea that we are turning our back on climate change, I think it's a huge mistake. I think history is not going to be kind.
Let me present it to you another way.
Okay.
It is true that the government, well, although there are a lot of government agencies in the United States that are doing lots of research related to climate change, but it's true that the government didn't embrace the Paris Accords. But if you look at carbon emissions in the United States, we are lower. We've gone down 17%. We are lower than what we would have been under the Paris climate change. And why did that happen? Because of capitalism. Because these major corporations saw that their clients, the people that buy their stuff, cared about this issue. And so you see manufacturers like Coca-Cola and like Georgia Power and like Southern Company and like electric companies around the country saying, we need to do a better job because our consumers want us to. Well, they're doing it because of the free market, and we're making progress.
Well, some of that is true, but big picture, I think some of that was coming because the big people in the corporate boards, yes, they were responding to consumers, but they were also responding to pretty consistent government policies throughout George W. Bush and Obama. They saw it coming. They didn't expect this change. When you look what happened with the car industry and how Donald Trump has forced car manufacturers to either take California's side or his side, that kind of petty stuff, that's not good. And that's, we're talking right. Big emissions, Martha. And also with respect to the exploitation of national parks for private interests, there's a side to Donald Trump's presidency in terms of policy, forget about personality, that I think he's on the wrong side of history. I think he's on the right side of history for China. I think he's on the right side of history for other things, including fighting anti-Semitism and a bunch of other things that are important to me, but not with respect to climate change.
Well, and that's why, really, when we look at it, you know, when we're 50 years out from this and we can look back, you know, you have one or two presidents that are great, one or two presidents that are just bloody awful, and the rest of them are mediocre because it's a really hard job. It's hard to be right on everything. And I'm not justifying, I'm just saying that I think it's ironic to me that probably every one of the Democrats running for president 10 years ago were in Donald Trump's office asking him for money.
Yeah.
You know, that Donald, I mean, it's true, right? 10 years ago, everybody wanted Donald Trump on their team. You know, now he's president of the United States, and half those people that wanted money from him are embarrassed they were there.
Let me ask you something, Martha Zoller, before I let you go. Do you think that he, in terms of his personal style and the way in which he's governing, do you think he has the makings of a dictator?
No. I think he loves this country too much. I think he's a big bravado, and he's, you know, this real estate magnate that he's used to running his own show. But I don't think he would cross over into that area. I don't. And our country wouldn't allow that. You know, we've got too many checks and balances in place to have that happen.
Well, I hope that part is right. And I do think that underlying a lot of panic about Donald Trump, there are people who fear that the way that he governs is a tendency, is a harbinger of the fact that if he were to get a second term with no prospect of having to be reelected, that he really wouldn't care. And he would just do whatever the heck he wanted. And so we have to see. And
yeah,
I'm hoping
he's going to do with that freedom, I hope he's going to actually cut the budget. And, you know, it's funny, my husband just went on Medicare. And so because he's still working, we have to pay premiums into Medicare. And I'm trying to get the numbers right on this. But there's a whole bunch of people on Medicare that are paying into Medicare on top of all the money they paid all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they still take 45% of what they spend from the general budget. It's, to me, there's just waste up and down the budget. But I'm afraid President Trump doesn't care about waste. He's not a Republican in that way. And, you know, that's my big issue. But you know what? We're just going to have to take it one day at a time, Lisa. And I think the next couple of weeks are going to be telling. And then after that, the whole election year is going to be telling.
Absolutely. Well, Martha Zoller, thanks for joining us. Hey, listen, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Lisa.
Merry.
Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, hon.
Talk with you.
Me too.
Thank you.
On WICC 600, Martha Zoller. We'll be right back. 203-333-9422.